CliffCentral.com.
The 80s show on Cliff Central sounds really cool. why is my camera off? I love 80s and 90s music. I probably wouldn't get the references and stuff though.
Yeah, Flex, it's a
little... Or the people they speak about.
It's a little lost on us, because, yeah, this is not our time at all. Good morning and welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show. My name is Siya Sangwini, and here with Michael Flex and Leanne Moll as well, taking Gareth's place this morning as he is off for the day, but he'll be back on Monday, and we get everything started again in the next fresh and full week, actually, full five-day week next week. So, yeah, Flex, you're right by saying the 80s... seems like way back when, but actually when you think about it, the 80s was 40 years ago. 1980 was 40 years ago.
Would you choose 80s and 90s music over like this WAP and stuff they're playing now? I would 100% choose 80s and 90s music.
We are living in the times of...
mumble rap. You literally asked for rap you can't even hear, and you've labeled it mumble. Like that isn't okay. Oh, remember we were talking about people dropping albums.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Sheeran's also dropping an album, and his music looks really good.
Is he getting?
I think he released one song. Ed goes through like stages where what I like about Ed is things happen to him in life, and then he writes about it. So obviously he'll write about like him having a child now and things like that. Before he was going through like breakups and stuff and writing songs about that. And now it's like, I believe he's in a happy place. He's got his first child. He's got a beautiful wife. They love each other. And now he's going to produce some beautiful love songs.
Oh my gosh.
Lots to look forward to.
And he's been in lockdown. So like, there's nothing else to do but focus on your music. So it has to be good.
Look, I don't know if we'll choose Ed Sheeran over the 80s, but it is a bit of a shock to realize just how far back the 80s were. Rebellious Ruth actually also notes my shock that I brought up, that the 80s were 40 years ago. So Flex, you and I were a little confused by how life was back in the day in Leanne's times. And so at least there's some people who are siding with you, Leanne, and they're bringing up some 80s references. So
what is 1980s? Mm-hmm. I was still a thought. I was still like a tadpole. I wasn't even born. I don't even think I was a thought yet.
Yeah, were your parents even together? Because for me, yeah, 1984.
No, my parents married like 18, 19 years old. They had their first child, my older brother, when they were like 20, 21.
Jeez. Leanne, does this reference make
sense? Imagine having a child that young.
Yeah, in this day and age, not at all. But Leanne, does this reference make sense to you? That time, the perm was still a bank and had nothing to do with hair.
Yes, you had the perm bank. It had I think it was like a continuous, it was a triangle logo in orange. And it was almost like a hypnosis thing where the line carried on and on. Onto the inside of the triangle. I remember
like
that.
90s sort of vibes.
Yeah. It was also in the days when Absa was very different to what it is now. Yeah.
Wow.
Is like Absa and Standard Bank like the original OGs of banks?
Now, this is again something I'd have to Google, but we had other banks before that even. In fact, we had Barclays Bank. That was big in those days. Barclays still exists overseas, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, Barclays is somehow in partnership with Absa or a part of Absa.
And
Tanya also brings up Trust Bank. That was also a thing.
That's a cool name for a bank, Trust Bank. But think about what it means. You trust your bank, Trust Bank.
I have never heard of any of these. Flex, have you heard of them?
No, I'm not seeing any Absa's or Standard Banks coming up here. But like when I went to Kimberley, there's like one of the first Standard Banks there that you can walk into when they, like in Kimberley, they got
still that operational old
place you can have a look at. No, no, no.
Oh.
But it's like labeled one of the first Standard Banks. It's really cool just to like walk in. Because I imagine, I mean, now we're all digital banking.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine you'd walk in there and you'd probably wait for hours for like a single teller and then you'd get like a one private banker or whatever they want to call it. And you'd go into his room and he'd probably be smoking.
Oh, gosh.
You'd probably smoke a cigarette in there. Yeah. And then you'd hand him over like a check, which would take like years to actually get processed or something. Because checkbooks are out. I remember my parents used to use checkbooks a lot. And you could actually go to the bank and give them like a check. And I thought like, you could fraud this check system. You could just steal someone's checkbook or something and write down some numbers, no? And make a fake signature. Like, how did that even pass?
On that note, listen to this reference. We had manual machines to make an imprinted copy of the card slip. You groaned when someone in front of you in the queue used a card because it took so long. What?
Yes. So you would actually need to fill out things on the piece of paper as well. And even with a check, a rubber stamp would be put onto the back of the check and you had to stand there and fill in your name, address, phone number, which was a landline, sign it. But the check fraud was a real thing. You know, if you had to be careful not to have a signed check. Like sometimes my mom might have given me a signed check, which is a blank check, to go and buy some things. But if that check got taken from me on the way to the store, someone could have made it out for any amount of money. You know, that's if the bank actually, if your account had the money in it. But also there were no live checks, like live authentications or anything like that. So you would only find out a week later that the check had bounced.
how would you check like your bank statements or know how much is left in your account?
They were posted to us.
So you would only have access to it once a month?
Yes.
How would you track your expenses and know if you still have money left?
We used, so we had
general ledgers.
Yes, general ledgers, definitely.
We had, imagine filling out a general ledger every time you go to Checkers.
Oh, my God.
We had our check counterfoils, which kept written record of what checks we'd made.
It's like the column that stays in the checkbook after you've ripped the check out, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. So those were important.
Okay, it's like a little fan in the checkbook.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Lord. You know what? It's really tough being the oldest one on the show, I must say.
Okay. I'm not at all trying to make you seem 40,000
years old. I am so fascinated.
Yeah. But how do you not do a hallelujah praise dance in 2021 when you can now just tap your card and go? How do you not?
Yeah.
How is your mind still not blown?
No, it's amazing. And I mean, I just think of my job in social media and all the tools I use and how we're now going over into AI, even for copywriting and things like that. Mm. And I'd actually appreciate a moment from your guys' generation to say, geez, you've really adapted well.
Yeah. Like, I'm considering like going clubbing with mates and then back for like the post jewel, filling out general ledgers so we know how much we spent that night. Like at a bar, handing them a check for like a round of drinks.
Yeah, that's the way it worked. That's
now it's just tap and go.
You really have adjusted so well. I think about some of these news channels that not even have a Skype or Zoom a guest in, but it's being done here and there where it's a hologram of a guest. So I know CNN, for example, I've experimented with it a little. How do you, born in the 80s, not sit and go, wow, in my lifetime, I went from having to copy my card to pay for something to a hologram on the news?
To cryptocurrencies. I mean, these things are blowing our minds, guys. You know, be gentle on us. We're taking in a lot. You know, wow. And also the advancement of technology is exponential.
Mm-hmm.
So if I look at my grandfather, who was born in 1915 and died at the age of 102, 103, he went from having, and I often mention it as a reference, the first X-ray in South Africa, which was, you know, hauled in a cart into town. It took months for the machine to reach him, and then he had the X-ray, and months later he got the results. So going from that, yeah. So, I mean, you look at movies set in the 1915s and in the 1920s, and you imagine there weren't things like X-rays freely available, and he went from that and being involved in the technology industry itself. He was a mining engineer, gold mining engineer. And how he, you know, when he died, in the 20 years before he died, we had just got him onto internet banking. And that blew his mind, how he didn't need to go into a bank anymore in order to do things. But there wasn't much growth comparatively to now, if you think about what I've just explained, where we were using paper that had copy, that had ink in it.
Mm-hmm. Carbon fiber to make, paper, no?
Yeah, to make like Romeo'd impressions of our cards to cryptocurrencies. I mean, that's just mind-blowing.
I remember my parents used to use the carbon fiber paper a lot, and then I caught on to what it does. And then in school, when you had to do like punishment, like write this out 100 times, I would just use carbon paper and just start writing.
That's what it is.
The problem is you couldn't see, you could see, because it's, you can see it's not original ink on the other side.
It wasn't my greatest idea, but it was an idea nonetheless.
Oh gosh, like writing lines helps anything. What an antiquated form of punishment.
How did people like Uber back in the day, or like, surely you couldn't still phone a taxi company to come fetch you and stuff?
No, you'd have to phone on a landline a taxi company, and that would, you know, you'd have to arrange it well in advance. But
say you're at the club already and...
Oh, no, you just have to drive home. No, you drive home, or you find a friend, or you take a taxi, or you take a bus.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah.
Look, Michael, all of these conversations just make me certain in answering the question you asked a little earlier. I'm happy in these times. I will take mumble rap. Just because I can also take Uber and tap and go and the internet, and I would, yeah, no thank you.
I have vivid memories of the days when there was no Uber Eats and you'd phone the Mr. Delivery person and you'd chat to them about your order. And then you'd tell them what you want, and you won't be able to track the vehicle. The vehicle will arrive at like any time, and something would be wrong with the order. Then you'd phone her back, and you'd be like, "Sorry, I ordered this with this and this." There'd be no resolution; nothing would be solved.
No,
but you'd at least voiced your opinion.
You just ate what you got.
Yeah, and it was cold, and you had to have cash. You had to pay with cash. If my parents were like working, I'd like scourge for like coins around the house.
Flex, if you didn't have vivid memories of 3 years ago, I would actually be greatly concerned.
No, this was more than 3 years ago. I remember using the Yellow Pages to phone like hardware stores and stuff still. And when my parents first got Wi-Fi in the house, it was previously I had to go sit like in this cold room by the entrance next to the telephone and like plug in my laptop. And then they got Wi-Fi, and then they never saw me because I was always in my room.
That was like a life-changing thing.
Yeah. Back on those days, there was this thing me and my mates used to do where, I don't know if you remember it, but it was, you would phone this number, and then you could put in a code, and they'd send you through to a chat room, and then you'd be with your mates in this chat room. And anyone could join this chat room if they just typed in a random number and guessed yours. And we'd just like... there would be such banter in this chat room going on. But then I'm pretty sure my parents got like very high phone bills. I'm not sure how it worked back then. I doubt it was unlimited.
Yeah, definitely not unlimited.
That is bizarre. Look, talking about all of these good old days and whatnot, referencing parents, it is Father's Day this coming Sunday. So happy Father's Day to any fathers who are listening right now. What do you guys, have any plans for your fathers this Sunday?
It's a tricky one.
It always seems like we put all our energy into Mother's Day in May. And then Father's Day rolls around and we're like, oh, and you kind of remember your dad going, oh, it's ridiculous that you guys buy gifts. You really shouldn't. And you think, maybe he's right. And you just don't bother.
Shame. Flex, do you have anything planned?
No, it's a tricky one. I was like, because of this whole third wave and stuff, I'm like, do I really want to feel guilty like going to see my parents and my grandfather and stuff, or do I just hold off for like 2 weeks for this third wave to die down, because I'd hate to be the reason they catch any like COVID from me. So I was thinking like maybe let me just ask them politely if we could hold off for like a week or two. We'll still celebrate it, but in a week or two. But like this whole hype and things like Valentine's Day, even people want to celebrate it on the day, but they don't know if you celebrate it like 2 weeks later, everything's half price. You get half price flowers, you get half price like dinners, etc. Everyone just amps up prices. And why is it set to this Sunday is Father's Day? Like, what's the relevance to this Sunday and not Sunday in 2 weeks? Like, you can celebrate it whenever you want. It's a whole marketing spiel.
I don't fight it much anymore. And my parents, if you think I'm slightly cuckoo, then, you know, my parents are on a whole other level. So I definitely get it from them. And I can judge them on a lot of things. But, you know, the one thing that I'm still so pleasantly surprised by is how grateful they are for anything that they get. Like, genuinely grateful for anything that they get from us as kids. Even just the fact that I can only cook like 5 meals. So if I'm at home and I feel like cooking dinner for everyone, they'll still be so grateful. They'll be like, this is the best scrambled egg we've ever had. I'm like, it's the same scrambled egg I've been doing for 18 years of my life. So with that said, I have the same type of gift in different variations I get for my mother, and I have the same type of gift that I get in different variations for my dad. So I have that all down as well. And I know he'll just be so grateful. And I feel I feel a little bad, but I know it's just easier this way.
No, 100%. It takes, you know, I'm slowly watching my mom turn into my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And there were things that my gran, you know, my mom would always phone us as kids and say, please phone your grandmother. You haven't phoned her in a week. Just phone her. I know it's like a schlep and you don't have much to say, but just phone her because she loves it. Or we haven't seen gran in months. We need to go see her. And now I'm watching my mom go into that after sympathizing with us. She's now saying, I haven't seen you in a week. When I see you, and phone her every day. And to watch her gratitude when you give her something like a new pair of slippers and a blanket and some hand cream, and just the absolute joy that she'll even get, you know, develop tears over it.
I know.
And say, you know, you guys are my present. The fact, and we're all just hustling and working and living for the weekend, and where they're sitting there every day thinking, when am I going to see this person? It's the most important thing to them.
Shame, man.
That's so true.
Yeah. Okay, so we say all of that to say, Leanne, you have some grown-worthy dad jokes for us today. I don't know where this will go. Do you need any further disclaimer? I've already said cringe-worthy and grown-worthy. So take it away. What do you have?
A lot of these are like a blast from the past for me as well, and scenes were on that trip. Mm-hmm. We used to get these long-awaited books that we would buy. Like 1,001 jokes, 1,002 jokes for dads and that sort of thing. Mm. But I'm also noticing that it's a trend on TikTok where you'll have two grown men telling each other dad jokes and they're trying not to laugh. Yeah. The first one to laugh is out.
Right.
And they're the most pathetic jokes. But things like, I saw a burglar kicking his own door. I asked, what are you doing? And he said, working from home. How to make a Kleenex dance, put some boogie in it. Oh, God.
These are good jokes.
It's the fact that you find it funny. No, it's the fact that you find it funny that's sad and funny to me.
Imagine you're standing in the queue. You bring out one of these jokes just to the person behind you. Like, that's mad banter.
No.
That would be awesome.
Quick jokes. It's not like a full story.
No.
Why can't you trust atoms? Because they make up everything.
Goodbye. We are cutting this. Thank you, Leanne. Thank you very much. We are
so bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
Look, can we?
And dads do it, hey?
Gosh,
I got a good one.
Dads think that they bring us joy.
Why was the broom late for school? It overswept.
Oh, God.
Can we have something of substance, please? Let's salvage the show here. Leanne, you also have 5 surefire signs that you're too burnt out at your job. This comes, funnily enough, on a Friday when a lot of people are feeling really, really tired. So what are those? What can we look out for?
So, you know, is it just me? Or are these
natural
everyday occurrences? Yes. I mean, this is like saying, okay, you're going to suffer burnout. You could end up having absolute mental fatigue or a mental breakdown. Mm-hmm. But to me, these things are just, they go with every job. Am I not right? Number one, your job feels too stressful.
Everyone's job is stressful.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Number two, you dread going to work. We all dread going to work at some point, especially now if we have to actually go into work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't focus at work. The story of my life. That's all I'm trying to do is focus, you know? It's a tough thing. You're overly emotional. What was I just saying? You know?
No. I think that's not normal. I don't think that's healthy. You're getting ready for work and you're gearing up to just be on a roller coaster of emotion. I don't think that's healthy. I think that's a sign of burnout.
No, I don't know. When you're working with clients and they expect the world of you and you take things personally, it's very easy to do that.
But think about what Dr. Han said. You have pockets of energy every single day. Where are you
only have so much
to place that energy? Namaste.
And the last one is your accomplishments don't improve your mood. Now, I think that's an important one.
Yeah. You know,
if doing something good at work or being recognized doesn't get you all excited, then it might be a problem. But for the rest of them, through those things, does it mean that we're all burning out? You know, the world will stop turning again if we stop working.
You actually think about like being in the office and stuff and used to see like people burn out in the office and they'll start crying and then someone has to come to them and then they'll like the boss will take them into the office. They still, and how they were told everything's going to be all right. I don't know what happened, but everything's going to be all right. And then the boss lets them go home for the day. Oh, I miss those scenes in the office.
You would see someone cry.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, people have burnouts in the office all the time. Like a client will say something mean to them or someone will blame them for something they didn't do. Then they'll start crying. And it's always the same process. Boss takes them into the office, has a talk to them. They come out. They're still semi-crying. Boss lets them go home.
No mm-hmm. ways.
It's actually a good hack to go home. Just start crying in the office.
No, this
is on a Friday when you can just drop some tears and go home.
There's certain things in my opinion that just should not be normal and should not be a thing. And crying at the office, I'm sorry, I wouldn't put up with that.
No, it happens all the time.
Mm.
people, their office is their second home. They have like every right to be emotional there, and sometimes they have to carry through what happened at home into the office. Like the amount of times I've been in the office and people have received like really bad news and they're in the office, and they react as they should, and it's sad to see. And then they look to you to like console them and stuff like that.
Get it together. Use the same principle that I use, which is whether you need to crap or whether you need to cry, you leave the office and you go to a drive-through or a different restaurant and you do it there. Then you wipe yourself off. And you come back to the office.
If you see someone crying in McDonald's drive-through, it's here.
Yeah. Looking for the key for the toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm glad you're not my boss. Yeah.
Yeah, jeez.
Gosh, no, I don't feel bad at all.
Crying and see as your boss. Go take a lap around the drive-through and then come back and everything will be all right.
Yeah, scrub dirt in your eyes. Get a grip. Get a hold of yourself. Jeez.
I don't think your job is stressful enough, not that I think about it.
God, may the worst part of your job be finding an aux cable in the mornings, yeah?
Michael flags that is a very personal point, and I'm still not over that. It's way too soon. I know how advanced we get, and we are getting as society in conversations around emotions and showing emotions, and men can cry and whatnot. But there's still something very off-putting to me about losing a hold of your emotions in general. And whether that's if you're at the office and you scream because you just can't handle it, or you cry, or no. To me, that's not healthy. And particularly with tears, I've never been a person who can handle tears. So cry away, but just don't do it around me. Sorry, is that horrible? But that's just how I feel.
Yeah, like I don't do well when people start crying. Like I'm not good at consoling, if that makes sense. Mm. Now, in an office environment, it's even worse. But I think some offices have people that deal with that stuff. Like if someone's crying, don't you go to like HR or something?
Yeah, straight to HR.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm not winning with this because Monica says, Sia, no one wants to do it. They just end up crying. Well, that's just like saying no one wants to poop their pants, but we all avoid doing it because, well, we learn how to survive in society.
No,
you brought it up.
Much easier to control that than control crying.
Control? Yes, definitely. You can.
Like if someone needs to cry, you can't hold that in.
If you need to cry, no, you get a little misty.
No. this is where you're very similar to Gareth. I think you guys think that it's like a thing that you really can control. I don't think to myself, okay, now I'm going to have a cry. It just happens. It's like sweat. You can't help it.
It's okay to cry.
No,
that's the younger generation. They don't think it's okay to cry, and it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel.
Please. So Lenise says, I had a terrible client one day in the hair salon. Lenise, your surname is Cuts, and you work at a hair salon. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Back to the message.
Lenise cuts hair.
Lenise cuts hair. So she says, very I had good. A terrible client one day in the hair salon.
I'm sure she gets it all the time.
Yes. She had my assistant in tears. She was so rude. I told the client to never come back again. Lenise, I'm not making excuses for horrible people and bad service or whatever the case is, but crying in front... How would you feel if your lawyer was busy defending you, it's a divorce settlement, or it's some sort of business thing, and you are trying to get back your 3 million rands in court, and then your lawyer cries? Oh, I would give up. I would just fold my arms and know that I've lost it now.
I'd feel like he's really got his heart in it. And then I'd feel like he lost it.
I'd probably pay him more.
I'd be like, this is amazing. You really care about me, but you've gone and messed this up now.
I am shocked.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't want my surgeon crying while he's taking my appendix out, you know.
Thank you.
No, no.
I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know where to make this incision. Jobs.
There's certain jobs you can't cross. So if you're a lawyer and if you're a doctor, well, doctor during surgery, a lawyer during court, you can't cry.
Gosh, thank you, Ruth. Here's Ruth. Ruth says someone's boss's own mother died and they continued working throughout the day.
That's not okay. Like,
no.
Are you trying to numb yourself or like forget what's happening right in front of you? Like, people need to start feeling things more and be okay to let their emotions out instead of bottling them up.
Michelle says, I cried this week. I'm one of many that cried. Who are you
guys? Yeah.
Where do you come from?
Sometimes I'll even just watch a sad movie to cry because you just got to let it out.
But even then, that's allowing yourself to. But there is a definite loss of control when it comes to crying. The tears just come. You can will them back as much as you like, but they'll be there.
All right.
Oh, you cannot hold that in.
May I clarify this? What sort of cry is it? You know, if it's a sniffle, if it is one tear that just escapes your eyeball, I think maybe that might be acceptable. You wipe that off, you carry on working, or perhaps you know that a whole avalanche is coming, then you leave the room. But if you break out into a puddle, believe you me, I'm not standing up for that nonsense.
Oh, go big or go home, eh?
Yeah,
the snots must go, the R's, hyperventilating, shaking. You shouldn't be able to talk while you're crying.
Yeah.
Full effort.
If you can talk while you're crying, then you're not crying.
You're
enough.
Sobbing. You're not crying.
I love how we've struck a nerve here with our audience because... This is, I find it a little ironic. Someone with the name John Bad Dog, hell no, how badass does that name sound, says, I cry at anything, but my wife always looks at me heart, like, with a heart of stone. John Bad Dog, you cried anything?
Do you know what I haven't experienced yet is happy crying when you can't stop crying because you're so happy or you can't believe something that's happened. I can't remember the last time I did that.
I did that very recently. Remember, Sia, I mentioned that I had a birthday party with 3 1-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So as I got out the car...
That was like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah. As I got out the car, my cousin was there with said little 1-year-old, and he was looking too cute, and I love him to bits. And then... Out of the car, unexpectedly, came their 8-week-old golden retriever puppy. Oh. Well, it was too much. I had to turn away, and the tears were just streaming down my face. So, yeah, I'm sharing a moment here. You're not making it very comfortable for me. And also, you should never be in HR.
No.
And also, after everything that I've confided in you, just because they weren't crying things, I've been lucky so far. I'm going to put next to your name in my phone, if you're crying, do not call.
Just do not call me. I can deal. I don't know. Maybe it really is a deeper or weirdly rooted issue for me. But there's something about tears that I can't handle. I can deal with any type of emotion, but tears not so much. Do you guys think, I'm not saying do it now, but... Wherever you are, even as you listening, are you one of those people who you could think about something and end up crying?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Bro, I think about movies like Molly and Me and I want to cry.
You know what?
I can't even watch August Rush anymore. I can't even like, it's too sad.
You know, I've never understood people, for example, who cry over an ad. I'm like, it's 30 seconds. I haven't even been able to, like, heave twice in 30 seconds to muster up tears. People cry over ads.
Good ad with a good soundtrack can get you. It can hit you in the feels. I remember there was, like, one of those Arrive Alive ads, and it was so sad. It was about like this accident that happened and this little boy was left with no parents. It was so, in 30 seconds, they had me crying.
Listen, if I watch a wildlife program and there's a prey attack, I'll bawl. Like, I need to change the channel.
Some people cried. Lion King, even.
Get a... Jeez, get your act together.
No, no. Together. Yeah, that is the worst line. Pull up your socks or pull yourself together. Those are the worst things you can say to someone who is having a moment because they can't.
You see,
you gotta feel. People must really know to feel.
I really know that I'm not good with dealing with this because, you know, the sentiment is often, treat people the way you'd like to be treated. So, oh no, just do what you would want in a situation. The last thing I want on the rare occasion that I cry is someone go, oh, shame, are you okay? And, oh, come here. Oh, leave me alone. Get away from me.
That is exactly what I want and need.
Shut up and leave.
Give me a hug and tell me everything's going to be all right and I'll stop crying.
Maybe I'm like Mabelo. Mabelo says, I haven't cried since November 2019 when my dad passed on. Very few things make me cry. And, you know, maybe this is contrary to popular belief. I don't cry a lot either. I can honest to goodness count on one hand the number of times I've cried since 2013.
No. Jeez. No.
Yeah.
Do you even have tear ducts?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I Botox them away. Botox them dry. Don't have any of that now. No.
Well, that would make sense because you do use Botox to stop sweating under your armpits.
Yeah.
And I particularly remember 2013. Well, I cried the day before my first niece was born, and that was because my sister and I had a fight. And we were really going at each other, and she was a pregnant one. And everyone started saying,
"Oh, not you!"
No. And everyone started saying, "No, you can't fight with a pregnant woman. Let her be." And I was getting so frustrated. I'm like, "Let me scream at her, okay?" And that's how I cried. So I'm also not a conventional crier, and I particularly raised 2013 because that was the time I was in matric that year. And was I did our year's commencement speech, so wrapping up the year in front of the parents, in front of our staff members and the whole grade. And I got right up to the last few lines of the speech, and listen, as an Oprah baby, I was thinking, oh, wait, this is the last time I'll ever speak to them. And you think it's narcissistic? I was like, this is the last time I'll ever get to inspire them? And that's why I cried. I couldn't care a damn whether I'll see them again or what they do with their lives. I didn't care about that. I was just like, oh, I'll never get to speak again. So that's why I cry.
I don't know what to say, Sia.
Neither.
Spare me the nonsense of tears and adverts. And
I mean, people must irritate you so much. How do you watch TV dramas? Because they're bound to be at least two crying scenes in each episode.
Yeah, how do you watch Oprah? You love Oprah. Everyone cries in Oprah.
I've only cried once watching an episode of Oprah, and that was really like an episode because
it was over.
Yeah, but you're watching the people, the interviewees, who are spilling out their life stories and crying. Do you sit there smiling or at them crying?
No, but manage your emotions, guys. Come on, like manage your emotions.
Do not hit me with manage your emotions if I'm crying.
No, you can't.
Oh my, that's my limit.
See, that would be like me telling you you're only allowed to wee 300 mils, 30 mils. You can't wee any more than that.
Guys, we have certain...
That's actually a great...
Manage your bladder. Manage how much water your bladder is producing.
We have certain rules in society that we abide by, and I think this is one of them. Anyway, I'm in the minority. I'm in the minority. I very much understand it, except that. So John Bad Dog says, he's back again, saying, my husky went missing 30 years ago, and if it just crosses my mind, my thoughts, I break.
Oh, cute.
Shit. Sia, you horrible, horrible
I'm
man.
Sorry, okay. Karen Karen says, August Rush, I cried from beginning to end. Also, any movie about animals break out the waterworks.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? Maybe here's someone who's a bit of a tiebreaker. George Meany's here. It's a Friday, so it's time for the Auto Central Power Pod. George every week brings us some motoring news, gets us going, knows how he can better inform us and educate us about the world of cars and such. George, before we get started with an update, good morning, by the way. Are you much of a crier? Morning.
Not really.
Okay. How do you deal with people who cry?
Try and be empathetic, try and understand their situation. Unless you've been through the situation, it's very difficult to, feel someone else's pain.
Have you ever seen someone cry in a Ferrari? I heard that doesn't happen.
Yes.
Is that Flex?
Yeah.
Look who's back, it's Flex.
And then George, last comment on this. As the CEO of Auto Trader, if you were minding your own business at the office and someone started crying at the office in the middle of a very serious meeting, would you be able to take them seriously? How would you deal with that?
It's happened before. I've been around the block here, well, in this business for going on 17 years. So it's happened a few times. And the standard practice is let's take a break. Let's take a minute, go and compose yourself, and then and let's carry on in about 5 or 6 minutes. So
you give them a timeline. If you are not done by 5 minutes, it's George the Slave Driver.
Yeah, that's going to make it worse, man.
No, you've got to be empathetic. You can't be cold-hearted. So you can't sit there and look at the person and say, stop crying. It doesn't work like that, you know. You've got to be a little bit empathetic, trying to understand the situation. But if you're trying to get through something in business, take a break, come back, and then try and work through the problem.
Okay, I don't know. Should we just agree
to
disagree?
More ignore the problem.
I would actually gladly continue with the meeting and let them stop in the corner and just carry on with things.
What if they've got genuine ideas and value to add in the meeting? Because if somebody's not engaged in a meeting, they might as well not be there.
Well, clearly your value has diminished if you're a sobbing wreck.
Oh, my Lord's here.
Gosh. George, what's in the news?
Sometimes good ideas come out of emotion, eh? You just don't know.
Very true.
Okay, then I'll start bringing alcohol to the office because that's how I
do my emotions. I think your frontal cortex is very much a filter, and sometimes you can filter the good things out if your logical brain is too much in action. So sometimes emotion is not a bad thing. It lets the real kind of raw ideas out. So it's fine.
It clears up the cobwebs.
Trying to tell Sia that for like an hour, it's okay to cry.
No, it's not happening.
He's not having any of it.
Not at all. George, what is in the news this week?
Well, I brought this one out just for you, Sia. A Florida man.
Ah, we love Florida.
Oh dear.
Is there a Florida in South Africa, do you think?
Yes.
In Durban, no?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Florida Road.
Oh, or do you mean like, is there an equivalent of?
Oh, an equivalent. I'm thinking of the equivalent. I know what Florida means. Is there an equivalent in South Africa of Florida? Anyway, a man chases down his stolen Lamborghini on a scooter. So this gentleman in Florida, he is sitting peacefully in his own living room. And next minute, he hears his Lamborghini Urus start up. And Lamborghini Urus isn't a quiet car. And turned out that this 14-year-old boy decided that this Lamborghini Urus was something he wanted. So took the Lamborghini. Went on a bit of a joyride, but the story doesn't end there because the little boy, the 14-year-old, parked the car on the side of the road, got out, was sobbing his eyes out, and when the owner of the car came along on his scooter, approached the boy, and the boy started asking him for advice, unknowingly that this was the owner of the car. I just stole a car. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm in trouble.
What a dodo.
Multi-million rand car, which has more horsepower than any bicycle you'll ever own.
Exactly.
I'd also panic, but I'd enjoy that joyride, eh?
Well, the Lambo owner said to the 14-year-old boy, you know, the fact is this is going to be reported to the police, and your best solution is just to be honest, because they'll go easier on you. And at that moment, the police arrived, and well, we don't know what the outcome is yet.
Absolutely.
And apparently, it turns out it wasn't his first crime, though.
Oh, absolute idiot. You see, I'd be pissed that you stole my car, and I'd be pissed at the fact that you have the audacity to cry in front of me.
No, if someone's leaving their Lamborghini with the keys in the door, like, you have every right to take that joyride.
Every right. Flags, there's something called legal and illegal here.
George, no, it's called being an opportunistic person.
Wow.
Whenever are you going to get a chance to drive in a Lamborghini?
So. Well, legally or illegally, you could go for a test drive. You just go to the dealership. You don't have to steal it and go to jail to have a test drive.
George, surely if I went to the Lamborghini dealership, they would not let me test drive a Lamborghini. Or would they?
You're flex, so they might.
I know, but my credit card says like 0001.
First, let me ask you, Sia, are you an anti-vaxxer? Are you going to go for the vaccine when it comes around eventually, maybe 2035?
Yeah, look, the particulars of it, where you stand and ethically and whatnot, that's a complete different story. I am just...
Yes.
I want to get it now just because I'm jealous. I need to go on Instagram. I need to say I'm vaccinated. So, yes, I'm a vaxxer.
You're a vaxxer. Okay, so Moscow, Russia, as a matter of fact, is giving away free cars to people who get the COVID vaccine. So they're incentivizing. These are 195,000 Rand cars, and they will be giving away 5 per week in a lucky draw. So you go and have your vaccination, you get to enter a lucky draw, and you get to potentially win 1 of 5 cars every single week. Well, obviously, you can't have the vaccine every week, so you can only do it once. Mm-hmm. But they're incentivizing getting the COVID-19 shot by giving away cars.
What?
I actually saw this in the news. Someone commented on it, and they were like, in 2020, it's your civic duty to get the COVID vaccine. And then in 2021, it's like, get the COVID vaccine and stand a chance to win a Honda Civic.
So anyone over 18 who receives their first 2-dose COVID-19 vaccine from the 14th of June until the 11th of July would be automatically entered to win this 195,000 Rand car. And good on them. I mean,
very impressive.
Like, put your syringe in a lucky draw.
Yes, exactly. Revenge in a lucky draw. Could carbon capture save ice cars? It's a bit of a boring topic, but I don't know what it is about petrol heads, because the moment electric cars start making the inroads into the world, someone comes up with an idea to try and save the internal combustion engine. So a bunch of engineers have come up with this process to extract carbon out of the dirty stuff that combustion engines produce, the CO2, capture it, and then use it to recycle so that it doesn't go into the atmosphere. And it's called carbon capture. I really do it at factory and move. So they've got a bit of a challenge when it comes to doing it with cars. How do you capture the carbon in a car? Because you've got to effectively extract the carbon, store it, and dispose of it or reuse it at some point down the line, which means you've got to keep it on the car, which I think is going to be difficult to do. But it's amazing how some people want to save these fossil-fueled cars and fossil-fuel manufacturing plants for some reason.
Why? We've proved electric cars are 10 times faster.
10 times faster, 10 times better, 60% cleaner, more fun to drive, quiet. I don't know if it's the noise.
It's like, putting money into research and development that is worthless.
Yeah.
We're moving towards electric vehicles.
Why do this? I don't understand it. Carbon capture. Well, good on you. Maybe we can get some new technologies for other stuff, but not cars. Let's just go electric. I don't see the point, to be honest.
Do you think we will go full electric straight away, or we're going to phase in first from semi-electric and those cars that go from normal combustion and electric and use both?
We have to go full electric.
Hybrids, yes.
Oh yeah, you're talking about hybrids. We have to go full electric, fact, because the trouble with Europe, not the trouble with Europe, the good thing about Europe is they've put down the gauntlet. The UK has said that by 2030, no more internal combustion engine vehicles are allowed to be produced and put on their roads. The other European countries have said 2035 and so on and so forth. So different countries have got different deadlines in Europe, but somewhere between 2030 and 2040 seem to be the deadlines. Now, if a hybrid vehicle has an internal combustion engine that helps drive the car, so it doesn't fit into that deadline.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. Because I read that Mercedes is no longer putting any money into research and development on combustion vehicles, only electric, and I'm sure the rest follow suit.
Yes, Audi has done the same. So it's a matter of time. That's all it is. And the thing about South Africa is 60% of our production in South Africa is exported to Europe, mostly to England, because they're right-hand drive. And because of that big chunk of our economy going out of the country, the exports, which is a good thing, we have to move to full electric. The transition through hybrid, I don't think is going to be there.
But my question is, we can barely have electricity for our houses now. How are we going to power up our cars?
I just heard this cat. No, so I've got an electric car, Flex. I don't know if you know. It's in my garage.
Which one?
The I-Pace.
So I've been driving that Jag.
Jag, yes. I've been driving that probably for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I have not had an issue even through the worst load shedding over the last month. The car charges for an hour, 2 hours a day. And load shedding, you know, if you who's going to get home except for the 18-year-old, maybe Sia, get home at 2 o'clock in the morning. Were you doing a live video at 2 o'clock in the morning the other day, Sia?
At 2 a.m.?
Oh, God.
That is a weekend. I was
talking about the
morning. Yes.
Like, no, that would never be me. let's focus on EV.
Okay. So to answer your question, I've been driving this EV now for the last month or so through the worst times of load shedding, and I've never experienced a problem. And at the moment, I don't have enough solar panels on my roof to charge the car fast enough. So I have to rely on Eskom power to charge the car at this point in time. And I haven't faced an issue at all. You do maybe, if you do 60, 70 Ks a day, in normal driving, it's a lot. And most people think about an EV, I've got to charge a thing from 0 to 100. No, you don't. I'm charging my car maybe from 80 to 100, maybe from 90% to 100, which is very small, short periods of time.
When are you charging it? Are you plugging it in every day, or you go a week and then charge?
No. That's the practice that gets you into trouble with an EV. If you treat it like an internal combustion engine vehicle and wait for the tank to empty and then fill it, then you're going to wait 12, 15 hours to charge the thing. Whereas you plug it in every single time, like your cell phone, 1, 2, 3 hours max, and it's fully charged again.
Would you feel comfortable driving to Cape Town in this electric vehicle? Where would you charge up? Plug it in the wall.
No, well, the wall charges are very slow. So they, you know, a car like this from zero to full is going to take you about 30 hours to charge if you plug it into the wall. Because it's only charged at about 2.5 kilowatt hours, maybe three. Whereas fast chargers charge at 22, 33, and 66 kilowatt hours. So there is fast charger every 200 Ks on every major highway in South Africa.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's great.
That's impressive.
If you go and look at my social media feeds, you'll see I've put maps of where these chargers are. So they're all over the place. Talking about electric cars, you know, Norway is leading the world when it comes to EVs. And they're facing a little bit of a challenge at the moment because the penetration of EVs in their market is so high now, the government is starting to lose tax because they've incentivized it so much. So they're looking at bringing the taxes back to cars in Norway now that they've got this high penetration, which I think is the way that South Africa should go. We should drop the taxes across the board for a period of time, mm-hmm. get the transition to happen, and then reintroduce the taxes slowly. It's not like a government can operate without tax. They have to have tax. So let's not think that they can't operate. Or should I say they can operate without tax? The fact of the matter is they need the taxes, but we should lower those taxes for a period of time to get people to switch.
George, is the progress to your liking when it comes to how the world is moving and taking on EVs and that trend?
Sorry, say that again. You stuttered.
Would you say can you hear me now? Are we all good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the progress to your liking? Do you think the world is moving as fast as it could when it comes to adopting electronic vehicles or electric vehicles?
I think if it wasn't for Elon Musk, the answer to that would be no. But because of him. Yeah. The world is progressing very fast, and I think it's as fast as it can go. The biggest challenge isn't the EV. The biggest challenge is the battery. The battery technology in the world is lagging the everything else. Mm-hmm. Silicon chip. It's lagging software development. It's lagging aesthetics. It's just the battery development is that's what's holding back a real mass adoption because it's expensive to make. It doesn't charge fast enough. The ranges are now getting pretty high. I mean, in a 100-kilowatt Tesla, you can do 500-600 km. My iPace can do 400 km on a full charge, which is a 90-kilowatt
car. Didn't someone bring in a Tesla into South Africa recently? Just once?
Yes, there was one Tesla brought into South Africa. It cost about double the price of the car because of the import taxes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why did they bring it in, or was it just like they had the cash?
It was a marketing thing, and I still think it is a marketing thing, which is good because everybody and anybody who can drive this transition will save the 60% exports that we stand to lose if the industry doesn't change.
Sure.
All righty. George.
Are people lobbying, though?
Behind the scenes, we all are. We're making suggestions to government. We're talking amongst ourselves, Auto Trader, NAMSA, the OEMs. We're all trying to get the right solution on the table. And as Auto Trader, we're trying to use our reach to try and change the mindset of the consumer around EVs and tell people it's very possible to drive to Cape Town like you asked just now. Every 200 km is a charge. I'm going to do it in the next in the next little while. I'm going to do it as soon as this wave starts to get behind us, and then I'll show you that it can be done.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely blog that.
I'm gonna.
Awesome. George, is there anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Thank you very much, then. Thank you very much, George, for being on the show this morning and for that update. Michael Flax, Leon Mo.
Leon Mo.
Yeah, are you in the Cliff Central studio?
Yes. You know what? My day started way too early. I just clearly need just a break after this show. Thank you guys so much.
Sia, you need a good cry. That's what you need.
Yeah, a good cry, Sia. You know what? Just let it out.
Oh, it's so hard. Please spare me. Everyone, have a good weekend. Gareth will be back on the show on Monday. Until then, have a great, great one. This has been the Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. Cliffcentral.com.